make any kind of comment. And a second public hearing, again, is not something called for or provided for in the guidance code. And of course, since it's not called for, not provided for, there was no public notice that they were going to take additional evidence. The other thing they failed to do at that public second public hearing, if you will, was to deny the public the right to speak. You just heard Mr. Bokel say that he requested an opportunity to speak at that second time, at the second public hearing, but was denied that right. So I think the commission simply failed to follow many of the guidelines or many of the procedures in the guidance code and that are clearly outlined within the concepts of how these matters are to be proceeding. So I think the confidence of the public will be lost in the integrity of the process if the commission is allowed to ignore the required steps that are clearly spelled out in the guidance code, to unilaterally alter the approval process on a case-by-case basis, to waive mandated requirements, and to fail to give adequate notice to the public of the business to be conducted, or to conduct multiple public hearings, and to not deny members of the public the opportunity to participate in public hearings. And for these reasons, I believe the decision of the Planning Commission should be reversed and set aside. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak?
My name is Rob Schiss. I'm the owner of 1345.
You want to stand up here, please?
Yeah, he'd be a party to the case.
A couple things. It's a slippery slope, in my opinion, to go with a vote. We're here tonight as an appeals board, so it's almost double jeopardy if a developer comes through, gathers through all of the information, goes through the process, and I'm here tonight just the same way they're talking about the integrity before, the integrity after should be maintained as well. So one, voting of the people here who voted and raised their hand, number one, the only two who are in the actual subdivision or in the actual area, not the Lemonwood area, are the Ungers. Second, page 50, I believe, in your code, there's a flow chart, and it talks about the first hearing, the public hearing, and then the final vote. And the only place in that flow chart, if you look at it, where it requires a time limit or a time requirement between meetings is between the second one and the third one. And so I do not believe we erred or they erred in any of the things. When it talks about the buffer, the plan, the commission actually has the authority to amend that. It's also given in there. It's in your packet that I provided. So that wasn't new evidence. That was discussion. The only new part was that, and I probably maybe shouldn't have done this. I did this at your advice, but our neighbor who's adjacent, the only primary residence person there, has also called in since this. And he's for it, regardless of the buffer. So, and the last thing for me is we pushed our meeting back, so our meeting got pushed back a little bit, and that was so you guys could change these hases to shalls and different things like that. So a little confusing, but on the same note, all the warning was given, everything was done, in my opinion, the way that it should have been, and the vote was had. And most of these people here, I think, should focus less on the individual developer and coming up here and trying to stop this because it's a legal process. It's your special use permit. It's your authority to do it. They should go talk. Springfield created that ordinance. That's where you win those things so that this stuff isn't happening individually and wasting people's time or making people have to go away from work. So, I do not think the county erred, so. Any questions?
Anybody have any questions for him as the... Okay, all right, thank you.
Thanks.
Does the board have any question about that? The second hearing was just only...
Yeah, I do. I would like to kind of have a recap on that. And Howard, were you there? It said that you had missed one of those meetings.
I don't recall specifically.
Well, those were all asked of the Planning Commission if they wanted to hold concept public hearing the same night, and they said yes. Of course, we already talked about that. But then the second meeting, which is your vote night, which is your regular meeting, the applicant always comes up and talks and explains and answers any questions that came through the public hearing. They might have him get more information when, between the public hearing and the vote night. But that's not a public hearing. That is just the vote night. And there was some people that asked to speak, and I remember the chairman that said no. So, I mean, I guess if he wanted them to speak, he could have let them, but it was not a public hearing. It was not posted as a public hearing.
But it's they did have an opportunity to speak at a public hearing?
At the public hearing, which was notification within 600 feet. It was posted in the paper, which I've got evidence of it, and then it was physically posted on the property.
Do you remember any of this?
Not specifically.
Okay.
Can I make something out of this? At the approval meeting, there was never any comments to the committee about the objections and all that were stated in the meeting previous to that. And I feel that's where it failed to succeed is minutes from that meeting should have been reviewed at that approval meeting.
It was the same commission was there at both, weren't they?
I'd have to go back and look. That's why we've changed it. That's why we've changed it to one meeting a month.
The first meeting.
Yeah.
So how can they make a good judgment if they didn't have any of the information from the first
meeting?
Minus
15, a petition, numerous people here.
Can we, does anybody else have any questions for the owners, first of all? I would like to have the opportunity to review the minutes from both those if they are available. I know we can't do that right now.
Right, they are. I mean, we've got book that thick of everything from last year, yeah.
Would you like to, you know, to overturn planning and zoning? I don't want to do that until I review the minutes from those meetings and take a look at it. Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Yep. That makes sense.
All right. Well, I think what we want to do is we want to go back. We want to review the minutes from both those meetings to see what planning and zoning did. And again, our job is to, if they made a mistake, correct it. If they didn't, we won't. And so we're not going to make a decision tonight. I would like a motion to postpone for 1 month. Give us the opportunity. If you will get us the minutes from those meetings, we'll review them. And then consider a decision at the next meeting?
Yeah, I mean, if we have
a motion, to that effect?
I'll make a motion to postpone this, give us time to review, and then we'll return on this at the next month's meeting.
We have a second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Nay. I know it seems like we're not making decisions tonight, but I want to make sure we have all the information to make a decision on that.
At the next meeting, what will be the procedure? Will the under speak? Will anyone else have
it? It will be a public hearing. Is that correct, Scott?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
But we will have the opportunity to review the things that you're referring and then also review the developer, to just review everything so that we're better prepared to make a decision.
So we basically start over. It's like...
It's not starting over. We've heard all your concerns. Based on those concerns you've shared, we're going to go back and take a look at what happened in the planning and zoning meeting.
So we don't need to do anything as far as...
There will be another public hearing. Mr. Starrett will send out the notice, but we will be better prepared to make a decision. But if you wanted to share your concerns next meeting, you can, but we've already heard them. Well, again, what we're looking at is what happened. We want to see the meetings from the minutes from planning and zoning to make sure that everything was done correctly and just to make sure that it was done right. If it was, and we'll take it from there. I don't know that a petition from all the homeowners is really going to impact our decision. We're just going to review what happened.
I think it should, though.
So. Well, we're going to look at everything.
Well, I'll remind that the Board of Adjustment's job is not to decide, like the Planning Commission, should it be there or not be there? Where did the Planning Commission err? What section, just like Susan laid out, they have to say, oh yeah, I understand section 3, you know, point due,
there'll be a notice go back out in a few weeks, and we'll have a chance to review everything. So I apologize that we can't make a decision tonight. I just want to make sure we have all the information to make a decision. Scott, what's the next case?
1802A.
So 18-02A?
Yep, this is lot 40 at the Pinnacle of MTS Ventures, Austin Miller. I'm representing him. MTS Ventures appealing the failure of the Taney County Planning Commission's approval of a special use permit for lot 40 of the Pinnacle at Branson Creek for nightly rental. On November 20th, 2017, the Taney County Planning Commission defeated a motion to approve a special use permit request by MTS Ventures allowing a single-family dwelling to be constructed and used as a nightly rental by vote 2 on the motion to approve the request of 3 in favor and 4 opposed of the 7 Planning Commission members present. The request on Lot 40 at Branson Creek Subdivision, platted 9-22-2011. Pinnacles at Branson Creek is a replat of the Legends at Branson Creek that was originally to have single-family homes built, then the home platted as condo-style ownership. Lot 40 is accessed from Branson Creek Boulevard through the Pinnacle at Branson Creek Phase 3, which has an approved Division 3 special use permit for Track 2 at 180 Legends Lane. I have it highlighted. This one had a special use permit approved. That was approved on May 15, 2017, with a vote of 3 in favor and 1 opposed of the 5 Planning Commissions present. I think this one highlights the one lot that had the approval. Lot 40 is here. Here's an extended view. This is the Branson Creek Golf Course. They were seeking approval for a new 6-bedroom home, and here's the schematic of the home that was going to be built on the property. And the lot's 9,267 square feet in size, and they proposed building a 6-bedroom home to be used for nightly rental. And of course, this next 5 pages are our staff recommendations for the nightly rental. And that's what I have for the commission representatives here.
I'm Margo Spilding. We are appealing based on, and it wasn't in my letter, but when we were here, that the response was that it was not compatible with the plan of the community. And so I did talk to the home association, and I read the covenants, and it's not, they said that it is not a restricted. It has been planned as nightly rentals. So I read the covenants. There's nothing that specifies that it should not have. There's no restrictions on non-owner occupants. There's no restrictions in regards to occupancy length in the covenants. We also have a, like he showed you, there's one that's approved. My understanding is there's another one that's running, so I don't know about that one or which lot that one is. And then we have the letter from Bob Atchley that addressed this in 2014, so apparently this has come up before. And so in the neighborhood, there's only about 9 homes that are built, and there's several of lots that were bought by Johnny Morris that will not be built on. He actually bulldozed 2 or 3 houses in order to keep it open in front of the golf course, so you can see the buffalo. So we have that lot right there in the purple. I also have one lot next to it, up from it, to the left of the purple one. And then I know there are several other people. I've talked to 6 other people that are interested in building vacation rentals. So I know there's a lot of owners that are interested in the outcome of this. Let's see. That's about it. Do you have any questions?
I know all the history on this. Mm-hmm. It was involved in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Originally, that was done as standalone condominiums, and then it was rezoned probably 5-6 years ago to R1 in that development so that they could get financing, because it was getting almost impossible to get financing. So it was rezoned as non-conforming residential lots. So the lots are very, very small.
Well, we don't have R1 in Taney County, Dan.
But it was zoned as residential as opposed to a standalone condominium. Originally, those were standalone condominiums. And then they were platted as lots.
Because they had to get a bunch of variances because the roads were too narrow.
Because they were too small to be the 6,000 square.
Correct.